You are listening to Business Forward, the knowledge portal of the AUC School of Business. We hear a lot about untapped potential when it comes to economic integration between African countries, but many of us do not know much about African markets and businesses. In this podcast, we travel to Nigeria to hear a voice from another end of the continent. I am Gaida Nedi, your host for this episode of Business Forward podcast. I spoke on Zoom to Muhammad Sani Dangote, who leads a giant Nigerian family business called Dansa Holdings. This is a leading provider of essential needs in food and shelter in sub-Saharan Africa and a member of the Dangote Group of Companies. Dangote has also been managing major businesses across FMCG and oil and gas. We talked about his professional journey, about human capital, family business, agility, supply chains, and African integration. Stay tuned.
Going a bit back, I wanted you to tell us a bit more about yourself, about your journey from your education until now. You're leading a successful homegrown Nigerian family business. So can you tell us a bit about that?
All right. So, I mean, my personal journey has been quite a self-sufficient sort of journey where I've always been alone, moving from, location to location, country to country, from my, primary school, kindergarten, from the U.S. to Kano, to Niger State in Nigeria, to Lagos, to Togo, then to the U.K.
You want the family?
Yes, so I've been moving, but alone. So I kept going to boarding schools because my dad believes in the independence, and my family, we have a strong value of no matter how wealthy we are, you have to make sure that the next generation have hunger and they have independence from a young age. You have to make sure that they stand strong. So that was part of the reason why. When I got to the UK, I graduated. Actually, I went to study mechanical engineering for about 2 years in Brunel University. Then I realized quite quickly that I wanted engineers to work for me. I didn't want to be an engineer. Okay. So then I went to the Regent's University and graduated there with a BA in International Business. And I met a lot of people there. And I saw the value of networking in that university.
Then Gauti moved across several roles abroad in well-known companies like Deutsche Bank and Glencore, but only for a short time before he decided to return to Nigeria to work on the family business.
When I arrived, I was just my dad's assistant, day-to-day, following him, minutes of meeting, planning his schedule, all the fundamental work. And I realized I learned more in that work than I had my entire life. In that 9 months. And my big breakthrough came when a consultant who was sent to advise my father on our beverage company, which was really suffering at the time, to come and see how we can restructure it. So my dad asked me to go with him and go around the market, survey the market, and look at the factory. So the inputs I gave during that journey, he wrote a recommendation to my father, and he said, you need him to be the MD. He might not be ready, but you can guide him because everything he said is so fundamental. And right now you need to go back to the fundamentals and you need someone you can trust who I think his integrity is a good question. So he recommended me.
That was indeed a transitional point in Dangote's career. I asked him about his thoughts, his fears and motivations at the time.
I've never worked in that capacity. And I have about 400, 500 staff that have to report to me. And I have people who have been there questioning why am I coming there. So I started the work. We did a lot of restructuring. They were really badly in debt, burning through their capital. So did a lot of restructuring, faced a lot of backlash from staff who are unhappy.
That's quite typical of a family business, isn't it? How do you tackle that?
And I have to tell anybody who's in a family business, the most things about business is relationships. People were helping me without any pay for a year and a half. That reinforced relationship with my father that I'm serious. But for me to do that, I had to say no to a lot of things he wanted me to spend my time on because I saw the bigger picture. So I think taking a challenge up and seeing it through is very important.
What a transformation. I really thank you for saying these very true moments that you had passed through to reach where you are now and how you manage those relationships with the family.
Yeah.
So let's move now to the Nigerian market. And if you can tell us a bit about what's it like now? What are the investment gaps?
I think you need $1 trillion to even close half the gap we have in terms of investment. We are a massive country and there's gaps across the board. We have gaps in education, we have gaps in healthcare, we have gaps in infrastructure, we have gaps in the energy sector, we have gaps in industry, petrochemicals, gas infrastructures for piping gas around the country to the many industries around, processing facilities for agricultural produce, as well as getting the right inputs to the farmers so that they can be able to get the right output. Some infrastructural also investments around the farming areas. So, you know, the gap is huge. So if you ask me that question, I'll say to you it's a very big gap. But the reality is, as of today, the economy in Nigeria, we are seeing, I think last year, year before, some sort of shrinking like most people saw. But the uncertainty and instability in our foreign exchange has really affected confidence of FDI to come into the country. And it's understandable. Even businesses like ourselves, we suffer from that uncertainty and the lack of access to foreign exchange from the central bank, where we have to go onto the black market or go onto the medium markets to get a higher rate of exchange, which is not, of course, helpful for our business. So a lot of times we realize now more than ever that investing in backward integration is the key.
What you're saying was reflected in the vision of the company. Let's break that down a little bit for the audience.
So that will mean that you become self-sustaining. I'll give you possibly three examples. One, I'll take my time a little bit to explain. I'll give you one example. That is my father, my uncle, Dangote Sugar. So they started by just trading sugar. Slowly, they built a sugar refinery at the port, importing raw sugar. Now they're doing a 100,000 hectare plantation where they're actually growing the sugar, raw sugar cane, and processing it. They have gone up to about 20 something thousand hectares now of that. And you can see now with the whole foreign exchange problems we're having, if we're able to achieve the 100,000 hectares, you don't have to import any more sugar. So your bill of almost about $5-6 billion we're using to import sugar into the country, it's gone. The country can take its FX and say, let's throw that at the gas revolution because we're a gas country, and get all the subsidy that we have in the country out of the way. Another example is we have a nutritional food program in Kano where we're doing with Nutriset in France. And this is for the World Food Program. So the main ingredients for these foods for the malnourished children and children with stunted growth, normally this effect happens at a young age. So you have to get the kids before they're five, because if they don't get the right nutrition, they start having stunted growth. So this, the main ingredients are groundnuts, milk in terms of full cream milk and whey powder and some sort of nutritional ingredient formula we have with our partners in Nutriset. This groundnut was imported until we sat and we told our partners, you cannot import everything if you want to have a sustainable business. So we sat down with them, we worked with farmers, we got some AlphaSafe, And we used that, and we showed the farmers, about hundreds of them now that are doing it. And by next year, we're not going to import any more groundnuts to Nigeria. And this is about 30% or 40% of our raw material.
How did you build this local capacity to be able to produce those products?
What we had to do for the nutritional foods is we had to get people that were very close to the community, young people, talented people. We had to train them. And then we now work with the local government people, the local people in the towns and the villages, and we use some NGOs. And then we now decided to train, and we did a pilot program with the first batch, and they saw the yield of the groundnuts. They saw that we were off-taking everything guaranteed. And the why it's so important to use the local people is because there's already trust built, and trust is a very strong currency, and you can't get that overnight. So you have to go through somebody who already has that currency so you can exchange with the people. So that's how we started the relationship, where today now we have outgrowers that are reaching out to us. But the sugar, it was a bit more higher level. We had to bring a lot of expatriates, and we used the Dangote Academy to do a training program for the people working with them, so that we had to knowledge exchange over a period of time, as well as the equipment, maintenance, and it was all across the board. So that's what we had to do.
An amazing story, really quite fascinating. A great example of responsible business. You're building local capacity, you're including the small producers.
In a previous Business Forward event, Dangote had made a point about the limitation of human capital in Nigeria. At the same time, Nigeria's startup scene is booming, with many tech-based services and projects coming to life. How are both phenomena happening at the same time?
Well, it just shows you, when you put little effort, how much you can get out. If you look at closely all the talent coming out of Computer Village and Nigeria in terms of tech, a lot of them are self-taught. And you see they have a lot of angel investors who have come from Nigeria to support them private. So there's not a lot of government support coming in terms of interventions. This is not a planned effort.
My last question was about Dangote's views on the potential for more economic integration within the African continent.
If we were to sit down and do a forum of private businesses and governmental people, and the key sector that has to do with human capital, I'm not even worried about infrastructure, because if you have the human will, it will come. So my own idea is the syllabus in the schools, from the primary all the way to the universities and business schools, should be focused on this African cohesion. And that means that you're being incentivized to learn Arabic, you're being incentivized to learn English, French. As long as you're an African, these sort of have to come. You know,
I couldn't agree more. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
And you can even encourage people to learn languages like Hausa or certain other languages that people speak in certain regions, because you need that to penetrate the market. You'll be surprised how many Chinese people speak better Hausa than I do in Kano, because they know they need that to penetrate the market. And if you also go into the area of saying, listen, we're sitting here in this whole sub-Saharan Africa. We sit down as businessmen with government support, central banks, and the right people, associations. We say, listen, we know the problems. We go through sector by sector, tomato, sugar, cement, you name the sector, pharmaceuticals. We know our problems. People are smuggling this and this and this from China. They're using this and this HS codes. They're using this and this, how they're going around. And we're having a lot of, how do I say, short changing or weakness from our custom officials across these borders. How do we combat this? We cannot combat everything at the border. We're going to have our own task force that actually goes to the retail outlets and the manufacturers and controls it there, so they won't be incentivized to bring it in. And we have to agree on this sort of policing to make sure that, listen, we grow as Africans, and anybody who wants to come and take a share in our market should have the heart to come and put the money where their mouth is and develop our people.
So this has been quite an informative interview. You've been very generous in your answers. Thank you so, so much. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
This has been Mohammed Dangote, Director of Dansa Holdings, speaking to Business Forward. Stay tuned for more podcasts by Business Forward, the knowledge portal of the AUC School of Business.